athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
I hope you had a wonderful 4th of July. I know that I did, and are ready for some talk, sports talk in particular, this week on Box to Row. I am your host, Donald Ware. You know, the NBA doesn't go away. We talked about this the last couple of weeks, that there's always something happening in the NBA last week. So going back a couple of weeks ago, the NBA Finals concluded. Last week you had the NBA Draft, and this week continuing with free agency signing. Now, I know a couple of weeks ago I mentioned there's not a really a big fish like a LeBron James or a Kevin Durant that would be available via free agency. But there are a lot of catches that have been available via free agency, and I want to talk a lot about those. As a matter of fact, I want to ask you a question. Now that Klay Thompson has signed his 3-year, $50 million agreement contract with the Dallas Mavericks, and Paul George is now a Philadelphia 76er, which of those respective teams has put themselves in a better position to contend for the NBA championship? I want to get your thoughts. We're going to talk more about those two deals in particular. The other deals, or some of the other deals that have taken place this week as well. We'll talk some nepotism. That's the word, nepotism, the big word of the week in sports. Now that Bronny James, we talked about him being drafted by the Lakers and all of this talk about nepotism. Well, it's definitely nepotism. I think the question is it a good thing? And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that today here on the program. And speaking of the Lakers, I hear all of this talk about how the Lakers aren't that good and they're not ready to contend for an NBA championship, and the Lakers aren't built to contend for an NBA championship. The thing about it, I don't think the Lakers were built to contend for an NBA championship last year either, yet the Lakers made it to the Western Conference Finals. Now, certainly the Lakers got swept by the eventual champion Denver Nuggets, but still, to be able to do that, especially with the pieces that the Lakers had, those pieces started to come up. I'm talking about last year, meaning the 22-23 season, and then maybe not as consistent for the 23-24 season. So all of the talk is, well, the Lakers need to do this. They haven't made this move. They're picking Bronny James, and they could have been making other moves. They didn't get Klay Thompson, weren't able to get a guy like a Paul George. But and everybody is talking about, or a lot of people, I should say, talking about what the Lakers aren't doing. But is it part of the responsibility on both LeBron James and Anthony Davis to be the catalysts of the team and then let those ancillary pieces or those role players do their jobs? Yes, you need the role players to be better, but I mean, I would push back against the fact maybe the Lakers aren't a contender because, but it's not because the Lakers don't have good pieces or aren't a good team. It's because all of these other teams are really, really good. We saw where the Timberwolves made a surge this year. Yes, the Nuggets didn't make it to the finals, weren't able to defend their championship. And I'm not sure. I may have to take the Nuggets out of this equation, right? Didn't re-sign KCP, which I think is a big mistake because KCP was an integral part of last year's championship team. But I look at a team like OKC, who's on the come up, right? The Mavs are still right there, maybe upgraded a little bit by getting a Klay Thompson. So you still have all of these teams that are really, really good. And it makes it seem like the Lakers aren't a good team. I think the Lakers are a solid team. I just think, and look, I think I said both of these players, meaning LeBron and AD, have to step up. Really, I think LeBron is doing everything that he can. The man will be 40 years old this upcoming season in December, if I'm not mistaken. And look, he's playing at an extremely high level for a guy that's 40 years old. He's still a really, really good player. No, he's not the kind of player that can carry a team, but carry a team every night. Now, some nights he will be able to carry a team, but I think it's incumbent upon AD to be able to step up. He's got to be healthy. He's got to be more consistent. I see there's, to me, a lack of consistency from Anthony Davis, and I think if Anthony Davis can be a little bit more consistent, then and with LeBron and, you know, some of the other pieces that the Lakers do already have, could they add a piece? Yeah, I mean, certainly they could, but a lot of teams could add pieces, right? But I think that's something that those two, in particular AD, because he's in his prime and he needs to stay healthy, can be an integral part of making the Lakers a contender. Look, we look at these things each and every year, and it looks very shiny, and it looks new. When you're adding pieces, it looks really, really good on paper. But then you have to play those games. And sometimes it doesn't always go the way that you think it's going to go. Speaking about the Lakers, look at the Lakers last year. Thought the Lakers may be a little bit more of a contender because the Lakers made it to the Western Conference Finals. Didn't work out that way, I think, because some of those ancillary pieces, if you will, or some of the role players took a bit of a step backwards or didn't elevate their games to the level that those games needed to be elevated to. Now, you've got another season. You've got a new coach in J.J. Redick, a young coach who played at a high level. Yes, I realize he doesn't have any coaching experience, but he's played at a very high level, and he's got a lot of people that he can also lean on as well. Plus, he's a young guy, too. He's a straight shooter, no type of nonsense kind of guy. At least that's my perception of him, having watched him in the media over the last, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years. So look, we'll have to see if the Lakers can contend, because just because Minnesota took what we think is a step forward doesn't mean that is going to be what we see from the Timberwolves in their entirety for the 2024-25 season. OKC the same way. I don't know, right? Sacramento took a step forward in the 22-23 season and then took a step backwards last year. I think a lot of that has to do with the parity in the Western Conference. I don't think the Lakers are as bad as people are making the Lakers to be. So we can talk about that. We didn't talk last week about the Knicks. I think the Knicks definitely got better, no doubt about that. But now I think everybody's crowning the Knicks like the next team, obviously, in the East. To me, the way that I see the Eastern Conference is it's the Celtics and then it's everybody else. And for me, I'm not going to leapfrog the Knicks over the Indiana Pacers. I'm not going to do that. I think Siakam was spectacular. Halliburton is really, really good. That's a good Indiana Pacers team. You can talk to me about the injuries that the Knicks had. And if you listen to the national media, which really is the New York media, that's what the New York / national media will have you to believe, that the Knicks didn't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals because the Knicks weren't healthy. Yes, the Knicks had some injuries, but look, I think Indiana, particularly Halliburton, was banged up a little bit as well. So I'm good on hearing about the Knicks being that next team. However, when I do look at the Eastern Conference, to me it's the Celtics and then everybody else, but from a pecking order perspective, I go Celtics, I go Indiana, okay? Then I probably will go with the New York Knicks, but I think to leapfrog and put the Knicks over Indiana when Indiana was the team that came out of the finals or came out of the semifinals and of course went on to the finals, I think is looking too far ahead. I mean, I think also, you know, the Bucks are going to be relevant. I think hopefully injuries aside, I think the Bucks will be a contender as well. But I would go Celtics, then I would go Indiana, then I would go Knicks, and then I would go Bucks. So we can talk about that, and we will talk about that today here on the program. Also today, the former Gulf Coast Athletic Conference officially changed its name to the HBCU Athletic Conference as of Monday. So no more Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. It is now the HBCU Athletic Conference as of Monday. And we had, about a month ago, we had Dr. Kiki Barnes, the commissioner of the now HBCU Athletic Conference, on the program. She talked about some teams being at, or some teams, some schools being added to the HBCU Athletic Conference. That has in fact come to fruition. So we're going to talk about that, talk about those schools that were added, plenty of NBA talk. And for maybe our new listeners, I want to share a little bit about Box to Row with you as we come upon our 20th year on the air. Keep it locked.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-811-3471.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box to
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Now hear this, now hear this. A jury in U.S. District Court ordered the NFL to pay more than $4.7 billion in damages after ruling that the league violated the antitrust laws in distributing out-of-market Sunday afternoon games on a premium subscription service. In other words, on DirecTV. Remember, for so many years that the NFL offered its package, its NFL package, exclusively on DirecTV. That means you paid like, I don't know, $250, and you could watch all of the NFL games throughout the course of the season. And if, like, let's say, okay, we're here in Raleigh, so the Carolina games wouldn't be part, the Carolina Panthers games wouldn't be part of that particular package because the games are shown locally. But of course, I was a subscriber to the package because I wanted, because living here in Carolina, even though, and specifically in Raleigh, at one time, the Raleigh area was the largest market for Washington fans, the Commanders, Redskins, the Washington football team, all of those names outside of the DMV, okay, right here in Raleigh, the biggest fan base for the Redskins, Commanders, the Washington football team, right? So I subscribed to the package for many, many years. First of all, when isn't the National Football League breaking antitrust laws? I mean, it's done it so many times. And as a matter of fact, there are plenty of antitrust laws that the league has broken that nobody talks about or doesn't pursue the league about, because at the end of the day, we know that the NFL is worth billions upon billions upon billions of dollars. And I mean, you got to fight that, okay, in court. That could add up to a bunch of money. So, you know, it goes on to say that the, I'm just reading the article from ESPN.com, the jury awarded $4.7 billion in damages to the residential class. That means people like me, for instance, or you that may have subscribed to the Sunday ticket, and then $96 million in damages to the commercial class, meaning like bars, big venues that would have shown the game, who had to pay. Those venues, by the way, had to pay more to be able to get the package than did residential customers, because of course the league is always going to figure out a way to make money off of you making money, right? So they're not going to charge the standard $249. They're going to charge a bar so much more money because they know that people will come to the bars specifically to watch those games. And I'll tell you what, one year we decided, there was a reason we decided not to. We had DirecTV, and the only reason, and I think I told this story a couple of months ago about why we would cut out. It may have been on this show. It may have been on another show that I've done, but we've decided to kind of cut out some of these streaming services and so forth, and even have switched to actually YouTube TV, not because of the NFL package, but just because we wanted to save some money. It was cheaper, although, I mean, there's a lot of stuff YouTube TV does not have. Well, we decided to kind of do that and save some money, although we're going to get the package this year, which belongs to YouTube, because I'm not missing any Commanders games, although I would say that we also are season ticket holders, so we'll be able to see quite a few games, Commanders games in person. All of that said, the league is always going to have a way to make money even off of commercial entities. But there was one year that I said, you know what, when we had DirecTV, we're not getting the package. And as a matter of fact, what we're going to rely upon to watch these Commanders games is this. We're going to rely on some of the games being on local TV, because a lot of times it's not as much the case as it once was. And I'll get into more of this particular conversation as well. But it used to be a time here in the Carolinas, and specifically here in Raleigh, that let's say the Panthers had a 425 game, and let's say the Commanders played at 1 o'clock. Well, you would see the Commanders game and then the Panthers game. So as long as those two weren't competing, because all of this is about money and exclusivity, right, for the NFL. So I'll get back to my story, and I'm going to tie all of this in. So I said, no, we're not going to get the package. Between the what we thought at the time would have been like the five games, right, where the Panthers and the Commanders didn't conflict. So we thought, okay, Panthers aren't playing at the same time. We'll probably get to watch the then Redskins game. The probably maybe two or three, you know, nationally televised games, meaning, you know, Monday Night Football or Sunday Night game or whatever the case may be. And then when we couldn't watch those games in, you know, at our home, the other games, we would go to a bar to watch some of these other games. Well, one time we went to a couple of bars and they didn't even pick up the NFL package for this very reason, because you've got to pay an inordinate amount of money. Then some of the bars that would pick it up, you could go to those bars, but everybody would be crowded around, you know, particularly a Commanders game, right? So one year we decided not to do it, but I'm going to tell you the reason we decided not to do it. There was a program called Redskins Nation that used to come on, and it was a daily program, talked about all things Redskins. Of course, the name we know is Commanders now, but I'm just talking about at that time, we'd talk about all things Redskins and, you know, pretty good show, right? Even out of season, it would come on even out of season, a daily show, pretty much a daily show. Well, it would come on what was at that time Comcast. And so because we lived in the Mid-Atlantic region, what is considered the Mid-Atlantic region, we could subscribe to the Mid-Atlantic Sports, for the Mid-Atlantic Sports package, which included Comcast. It included a network called Masson, which is owned by the Baltimore Orioles. And and the way that Masson came about was because of the whole thing with Peter Angelos, the owner of the Orioles, you know, didn't want a Washington team to come into the market. And so to compensate for that, Major League Baseball, I can't remember if it's Major League Baseball created the Masson, or however it happened, but there were the Masson, in essence, was created because of the Nationals' infiltration of Washington. Because remember, because there was not a team in D.C., the Orioles were the team for D.C., and in a lot of respects still are, even with the Nationals being there. So that's how Masson came about, just a quick story there. But again, we would subscribe to this sports package, get all, we'd be able to watch Comcast and all of that. It allowed me to see, keep up. Wizards games would come on, right? Wizards shows, all of these shows I would be able to watch. Well, after a while, what the NFL started doing was blocking out, because this is a Carolina Panthers market, they even though I was paying for the sports package through DirecTV, I'm not talking about the Sunday ticket, I'm talking about the sports package, which included Comcast, Masson, etc. The NFL or Comcast, whoever, or DirecTV would block out Redskins Nation in particular. Would block it out. It would come on to, I couldn't watch it. It was blocked out because of the NFL saying, trying to protect the rights of the Carolina Panthers as the team in this market. Okay. So silly. And that's where it's all about money, right? Never, the NFL doesn't care that the biggest market for the then Redskins outside of Washington is Raleigh, so people would watch. They didn't care about that. They just wanted to protect the rights, I guess, in essence, of the Carolina Panthers. Whatever. Okay, fine. It is what it is. So I said, look, we're not buying the package. So we decided not to buy the package that year. But it was a challenge watching these games because, again, going to the bars, some of the bars, especially the ones closest to us, didn't even pick up the NFL package. Okay, so now we come back to this time right now. Because of all of those type of things that happened, there was a class action lawsuit. It has come back, and now the NFL owes $4.7 billion in damages to residents like myself, $96 million to bars, in essence. And because it was in federal court, it was awarded in federal court, those particular damages can triple. So right now, it could be, when the judge rules, the NFL could be on the hook for close to $15 billion in damages. Now, we know how this story is going to play out. The NFL is going to appeal, which it already has. It's going to be heard by a judge. In the NFL, it's not going to owe anything because the judge is going to say, no, they're going to vacate the fact that these damages were awarded, and the NFL will continue to move on the Teflon Don that it is. Look at the Maurice Claret situation going back, I don't know, was it 2006 when, or whatever, 2003, whatever year he decided to apply for the draft, won the suit. Guys like Mike Williams came out of USC because the suit was won. Then it was overturned by a lower court. And then guess what? Mike Williams and others are ineligible now. Maurice Claret's career is out of whack, whatever. You know, I mean, some of that had to do with him, but I'm just saying. Right? So look, that's how this is going to play out. The NFL is going to, we already know that the NFL is going to win on appeal. And once again, the NFL will be able to continue to make billions and billions of dollars and put their own rules in place, even in spite of the antitrust laws we have here in the United States of America. The NFL always wins out. So I thought I would share that. Wasn't sure if you guys were aware of that. For me, I mean, I'm not counting on getting any money. Still got the YouTube package. Not going to miss any of the Commanders games. But we know how this is going to play out. The NFL is going to win on appeal. Look, we've got NBA talk still on the way, as well as nepotism.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Main event! Jey Uso joining us here. Could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That something. It be your own family sometimes be doing you wrong, Lou. I gotta go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself.
She's Simone Biles.
Actually really fun, like, to be honest. Had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our lives. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is still beautiful.
The one and only Michael Strahan, and cannot have you on without talking about Texas Southern. Cannot. So how did you ultimately end up at Texas Southern?
Yeah, from Houston. Grew up in Germany. When I was a senior in high school, my dad said, I'm going to send you to stay with your uncle in Houston and get a football scholarship. So I went to Houston. I played at Westbury High School for 1 year. Texas Southern was probably the only school that saw me play, being right there in Houston and being a local boy. And Coach Walter Highsmith, I went over to see him, and he offered me a scholarship. It was perfect for me, man, to go to the HBCU, to go to Texas Southern. The size of the school, the education they gave me, not just in the classroom, but about life. I would have been swallowed up at another school. I wouldn't have felt as if I really could have made a difference or had a real purpose of being there. But at Texas Southern, I always felt like I could make a difference and I had a purpose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Skylar Diggins of the WNBA. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You know, just been able to work a lot on my body and my shape, and a lot of things that I feel like I needed to work on in the offseason. I was able to get that done, and, you know, it's showing.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip-hop. And it's giving me back that same love in return, you know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it. I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it. And I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle because of the way that I treat people. And I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there. And that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
Demetrius Flannery, a.k.a. Lil Meech.
He sent in Atlanta, told me that he was going to move me from my hometown, Miami, to L.A., put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, 2 times a day. I only had about a year and a half, but once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know, so once in a lifetime opportunity, I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV, opportunity passed me by. So I just buckled down and focused, man. Put everything to the side and made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focus on being the best possible actor I can be for the show. And that's how it happened.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
That is the voice of Common. You went to Florida A&M.
Oh, FAMU days were some of the best days of my life. I mean, I had so much fun there. It was, like, invigorating. It was an introduction to a new aspect of culture in the world. I mean, the Southern girls was just incredible. you know, the food was great. The black college experience, you can't beat that.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a big package for you to become a better player. But for me, it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in first 8 games. And, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey, y'all, it is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. Back to some NBA talk on this 4th of July week here on the program. And I asked the question earlier, what's the bigger move? Is it Klay Thompson to the Mavericks? And by the way, that was I said it was a free agent, but it was really a sign and trade deal. Or is it Paul George to the 76ers? Now, I look at the Thompson deal, and a lot of people thought that Thompson would be a Golden State Warrior for life, but the writing was kind of on the wall. If you look at Klay Thompson, really the last, I would say, 4 years, maybe 4 or 5 years or so, he had really been beset by injuries. Matter of fact, he had a major injury and a setback with respect to that injury. It's taken him a couple of years to kind of come back from that injury, to the point that this year he was in a diminished role, still in that role coming off the bench. You know, he was able to really put up some numbers. He shot then close to 40% from three-point range, averaged like 17 points per game. So it wasn't like, you know, wasn't like he was a scrub. Now, I think the one thing when you think about Klay Thompson, we know he can shoot. As great a shooter as Steph Curry is, I believe Klay Thompson is the better pure shooter. I mean, when he leaves his hand, it is pretty. And I'm telling you, you know, Steph shoots from, is a great shooter, of course. He's maybe the best shooter of all time. And Steph is more from distance. He's a distance and a long distance maker of shots. Whereas when you look at Klay's mid-range game, oh, it's so pure, right? I mean, that jump shot, oh, it's beautiful. Where Klay really excelled, especially before the injuries, was on the defensive side of the ball. You were talking about one of the best two-way players in the league. So as much as the Warriors made him a bench player, and he was obviously a really good bench player, given the Warriors sparks in many a game, as I mentioned, had the fortune of being back in February at the Warriors and Phoenix game in San Francisco. And Klay was – Klay, I'm trying to think – he may have started in that game, but whatever the situation was, he was really, really good in that game. Where his presence has really been missing is on the defensive end. And so now he goes to Dallas. Dallas lost a couple of pieces in of itself, right? But I don't think it was a significant loss. Well, I would put it like this. If you asked me after the finals, and of course Boston beat Dallas 4-1, would Dallas be the favorites coming out of the West for the 2024-2025 season? Again, prior to all of this, the draft and free agency, I would have said no. Well, I don't know if I would have said. I would have said probably not necessarily. In other words, it's hard to say no because they are the defending Western Conference champs. The problem is that what I mentioned earlier, there's so much parity in the West. OKC's coming. Minnesota is still on the rise. Denver, while again not signing, re-signing KCP, which I think is really, really big, you still have Jokic and Jamal Murray and in the other pieces around the Nuggets, which while I don't think it lends to the Nuggets being the favorites in the West, the Nuggets are still very, very competitive. So my point is, it could be any number of four teams. Probably not Golden State either. I Golden State certainly didn't get better. I mean, the Warriors certainly didn't get better by not re-signing Klay. It's just that they didn't want to pay the money. You know, they weren't going to come with a 3-year, $50 million contract, even though they did sign and trade. They weren't going to absorb that 3 years and $50 million. I believe there's an option for a fourth year as well. But what a Klay Thompson now does for Dallas, it gives you a guy. Listen, you know, Luka can knock down shots. Kyrie is a really, really good shooter and a good three-point shooter at that. It's just that in the playoffs, you know, and especially in the finals more specifically, he just wasn't consistent in terms of putting the ball in the basket from range. Klay's shot ain't going nowhere no time soon. Klay Thompson, for as great as Steph Curry is, again, from a pure shooter standpoint, he's really, really good. He still can do some things. He doesn't, you know, he's not as quick as he used to be, but he's got a high basketball IQ, can still handle the ball extremely well, obviously can still shoot the ball well, and I mean, he brings an upgrade to the defense of the Dallas, particularly in the backcourt, because Luka, while trying to be more of a committed defensive player this year and in particular in the playoffs, still wasn't a good defender. Kyrie's not really a good. I mean, he's not a terrible defender, but he's not known as a good defender. But I think you're going to get that level of commitment from a Klay Thompson. He just doesn't move as well laterally as he once did, but that doesn't mean he still can't defend. He's got good size. He's got good height. You know, he's going to be able to defend some small forwards, that type of thing. So that's just kind of breaking down what Dallas is getting in terms of Luka, plus the majority of your really good players come back. I mean, again, they lose a couple, but gaining Klay, I think, makes them a better team. But I still wouldn't say they're the favorites. Even with that move, they would be the favorites in the West. Now, I look at the 76ers, already a good team. By the way, Maxi re-ups on a 5-year, $204 million contract. Really, really big for Maxi. Made the All-Star team. Phenomenal player. I mean, as quick as Kyrie is and as great a handle as Kyrie has with the ball, Kyrie's in his 30s, right? When I look at Maxi, I don't think there's a quicker player in the league with the basketball than Maxi, right? Not only his quickness, his toughness to the hole, He can get you and ones. He's got the size to still be able to absorb contact and still finish at the rim. You know, he's a good shooter, a good shooter, not just a solid shooter, but a good shooter from outside. Defensively, I mean, I don't watch him. I haven't watched his defense enough to know what, you know, how he is defensively. But I got to figure he's probably going to going to make more of a commitment on the defensive end and continue to get better. Okay, you know what Joel Embiid brings. What one of the things that the 76ers do is get rid of Tobias Harris, or allow, I should say, Tobias Harris, let him walk, and he signs a 2-year, $52 million deal with Detroit. Boy, I mean, he already had a max deal, which, I mean, look, Harris, really, really good player, never thought he was a max player, never lived up to that max contract, and now Detroit gives him $26 million a year, 2 years, $52 million. Boy, I think that's a lot for a guy like Harris. But again, I don't know. Detroit, I'm not really sure what's going on in Detroit right now. But now to that 76ers team, you add a Paul George. Now you're bringing a piece that, okay, we remember when Paul George got injured, had the broken leg. What was that? Was that 2012, I think, maybe 2013? He had the broken leg. He's bounced back from that particular injury. Like, that hasn't been the injury that's derailed him. He's had other injuries. PG-13 has had other injuries that have sort of derailed him. That said, he's still a really good athlete, still can bang it on you, still can shoot the ball from outside, still is able to defend, okay, better than Klay. You know, where I'm just setting the table for you and then telling you who I think got the better end of the deal between the respective moves, again, of Thompson to the Mavericks and PG-13 to the 76ers. Still can do all of those things. Now you have a third scorer, which and a consistent third scorer. I think Harris was a good third scorer, but he wasn't consistent. I mean, he could do some things defensively, meaning Harris, but I mean, some nights he'd give you 0 points, like in the playoffs, like he'd give you 0 points. Like, a max player can't give you 0 points. I don't care how solid of a defender that he is. So now you add all of those things with Paul George, and you add that. And by the way, I didn't mention the 76ers, but I think I would have the 76ers fifth. But that 2-5, it could be any one of the 2-5 teams in the East. It's the Celtics and everybody else. I go Pacers, Knicks, Bucks, then the 76ers. And I think that this makes the 76ers a contender within that 2-5 realm. Does it make them a contender with the Celtics? I mean, that's a tough task, because the Celtics are really, really good. And by the way, Tatum is the highest, now the highest paid player in the history of the NBA. I think that Thompson to the Mavericks is the better of the moves between, again, him to the Mavs and then Paul George to the 76ers. Because, again, I still think even with that move, the 76ers are still in that 2-5 range. I think the Mavs, already a really, really good team, coming off making it to the Western Conference Finals, you add a four-time NBA champion, one of the greatest players to ever play, and two-way players at that, in Klay Thompson, now to that mix. And even though it's tough in the Western Conference as well, I think that, for me, adding Klay Thompson puts the Mavericks, to me, now in the driver's seat in terms of who will come out of the West. I'm not there with the Wolves yet. They were valiant. I need to see what's going to happen after you have success as a young team. Okay, a la the Memphis Grizzlies. Had success as a young team. Various things have happened for them not to have had that sustained and continued success. But the fact of the matter is, the Mavs aren't where Memphis is not where it was 3 years ago. So to me, by now adding Klay Thompson to the mix, to me, I see Dallas as the favorites. I still look at, even though it's a good move where PG-13 comes to the 76ers, they're still one of the 2-5 teams that I think that have the opportunity to compete with the Celtics. Better move, Clay to Dallas or PG-13 to Philadelphia? Hit me up via Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow. Give me your thoughts. I mean, so many different moves have happened in the NBA. So many free agents have signed as per usual. It's a busy offseason as it relates to the NBA. Up next here on Box to Row, we're going to talk nepotism.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
MLB's always talking about the past, and I respect the past. Listen, nobody loves history and wants to know more about how things were than I do. But I want to ask Major League Baseball a question. How are you marketing your product to the black community? The numbers in terms of player participation that were on opening day rosters, it was up like to 6.2%, which is great. I mean, that is some progress. Considering the previous couple of years, it was right around 3.9%.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
Welcome back to Box to Row on this 4th of July week. Hope you are having a great week, and thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. If you want to participate here on the conversation, hit us up via X at Box to Row, BoxToRow. Follow us while you're there. You can also follow us on Instagram at Box to Row. Look, the HBCU Athletic Conference, as I mentioned before, in full effect as of Monday, switching names from the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference and, as a matter of fact, adding three new schools. And Dr. Kiki Baker talked with us about this about a month ago when we talked with her about the conference, the name change, looking forward, what's happening looking forward. And Stillman, Voorhees, and Wilberforce. Voorhees in South Carolina. Stillman is in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And then Wilberforce is in Wilberforce, Ohio. Shouts out to all of those schools, those HBCUs that are now part of the HBCU Athletic Conference. I think it's a great thing. I think the name change makes a lot of sense because it's an obvious name to me. You have SWAC, SIAC, CIAA, and MEAC. And while the HBCU Athletic Conference doesn't have football, the name in of itself, we've known for the last, I mean, those of us that are in the HBCU space or HBCU grads know HBCU. We know the importance of HBCUs. And now, to have a conference named the HBCU Athletic Conference, even without having football. Look, I think there are going to be quite a few sponsors that are going to want to attach their name to the HBCU Athletic Conference. And so it's a big deal. Those three schools now join Dillard, Fisk, Oakwood, Philander Smith, Rust, Southern at New Orleans, Talladega, Tougaloo, the University of the Virgin Islands, and Wiley, now University, once Wiley College, now Wiley University. So you've got, that's a robust conference with schools all over the place, including in the U.S. Virgin Islands, from Louisiana to Tennessee to Alabama to Arkansas to Mississippi. And, you know, a lot of those schools, South Carolina, Ohio, boy, that's going to be an interesting trip from Ohio coming down south all the way over to Texas and then the Virgin Islands. So that should be interesting. But I think it's worked to this point, even when it was Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. Of course, USVI, or UVI, I should say. UVI had joined the conference as a full-fledged member on last year. So kudos to the new HBCU Athletic Conference. Nepotism. So there's been a lot made about nepotism, that word in particular, over the last week and a half, more specifically. And Bronny James, now a member of the Lakers, mostly. I mean, I think we can all agree that, look, and I said it last week, I think that Bronny James, from a, you know, he's got, you know, a lot to work on. If you watch what he did at USC, maybe if you listen to some of the reports in terms of the camp, he's got, you know, the respective camps, he's got a lot to work on, no doubt about it. One thing that he doesn't have to work on, I mean, you always want to work on this, but he's coming into the league with his body already developed, even more so than his father going back some 20 years ago. He's got good size. I'm not talking about height. I'm not talking about size. He may grow a little bit more. He's only 18, so he may grow a little bit more as well. You got to keep that in mind. You know, J.J. Redick talked about in the press conference to introduce Bronny James, talked about he may be, you know, sort of the blueprint or the face of what development looks like for an NBA player. But one thing he doesn't have to worry about, well, not worry about, but right now, his size. It's not like, you know, even when LeBron and some of these other guys, you know, Kevin Durant, even Wembanyama coming into the league, they're not built. You know, LeBron wasn't a small dude, but you look at where he is now, and that's just hard work and just working with his body over the years and years and years. Look, yes, it is a situation where Bronny James comes into the league, is drafted because he is the son of LeBron James. But tell me what's wrong with that. Like, it wasn't like he was a first-round pick. He was the third-to-last pick in the NBA draft, number one. Generally, not a lot is made of second-round picks. Heck, let's look at the league really over the last, I don't know, what, 4 to 5 years, first-round draft picks really aren't, unless you're a lottery pick, and even then, unless it's a top-five pick, these days you have no idea what you're getting. People don't know the players because we have a lot of international players that are playing as well, so you don't hear about these players. Of course, a lot of them come into the league and play very, very well, but these, even the first-round picks aren't as valuable, although I realize they are coveted still, because you can get, you know, you have teams that have, and Boston really started this, having what? They had like 4 first-round draft picks for so many years as they were building the Celtics to what the Celtics are now, and that was because of those first-round picks. Even then, that's probably going back some 10 years ago now, when the Celtics were kind of building their team and had all of those first-round picks. But right now, first-round picks aren't, you know, you don't know what you're getting. They're not as coveted. Okay, that's one thing. But again, what's wrong with nepotism? In real life, right, you know, the NBA is the NBA and all of that. But amongst regular people, have you not had a parent or some kind of family member help you out along the way in terms of getting some kind of job to start a career, right? I have. You have it? I mean, again, we look at it on a different level because it's the NBA. But at the end of the day, nepotism happens to regular people. It has happened throughout the course. I mean, we can look at even other famous people, you know, presidents and the like, you know, famous people now. Nepotism is nothing new. It's just magnified because it's LeBron James, it's Bronny James. Bronny James is still going to have to put in the work. It's not like they're saying, okay, you're a second round pick. Hey, kid, you've made the team. Hey, kid, you're going to be our seventh player. He's got to earn that. But there's nothing wrong with being put in position to then earn that. Now, if he's still not, he doesn't develop, Bronny doesn't develop as well as maybe the Lakers hope, or as well as he should, even more specifically, then that's one thing. And if you're still playing him, if you see him on the court and you see him playing and he's, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing, he looks lost, yet he's still playing. And again, he's going to be between the G League team and sometimes on the NBA team. You know, and he's probably going to play more G League or be more G League than NBA unless he develops. Now, of course, there have been many, many players that have come through the league that have not gotten the opportunity that Bronny James is getting or deserve more of the opportunity than Bronny James is getting. But again, there's nothing to me, there's nothing wrong with nepotism. He's got to earn this. Bronny James has got to earn this, okay? And we'll see what happens over the next, really this year. We'll see in terms of the development side, because from some of the film that I watched, and I didn't watch him really play, I may have watched a game or two when he was at USC, and one of the things we have to remember is that he had cardiac arrest around this time last year. So he's getting back into the fold, even playing at USC this past season. He's trying to get back into the fold, make sure everything is right. There's probably a lot that he has to do just outside of to make sure that everything is okay with his heart. There's a lot, I'm sure, that goes along with that as part of his training. So look, he's getting back into this thing. Some of the stuff that I saw, some of the clips, showed me a kid that can do some things. I mean, we're acting like this kid has never played the game and now he's getting the opportunity. Listen, a lot of times when you come up around an industry, in this case, Bronny James coming up in the NBA, having interactions with some of the greatest players to ever play the game, getting tidbits, his father certainly working him out, coaching him, all of those things, it's going to get you to a certain point, and to the point that it's gotten Bronny to where he is right now. Now, again, nowhere near a finished product, but there's nothing wrong with getting an opportunity because of who your parents are or who you know. It's all about who you know. A lot of the opportunities we get is because of who we know. Now, you know, I mean, there have been some times when I can look at some opportunities maybe throughout the course of my career or maybe throughout the course of your career where you're like, man, I deserve the opportunity more than that person got. No doubt about it. But I think in this situation, you know, but at the same time, I would say I've also had opportunities that others haven't gotten either because of who I know, right? So look, let's chill with all of the negativity on that. Bronny still has to earn it, but there's nothing wrong with nepotism in terms of him being able to get this opportunity. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Again, countdown to kickoff 2 weeks away, Saturday, July the 20th in Durham at Sticks and Vines. 5 p.m. Eastern with the meet and greet, 6 p.m. Showtime. Going to have a great time. We want you to come on out there. More than likely will be a live stream element to this thing as well, and we'll announce that in the next several weeks. And always remember to support those that support. Yo Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.
In the Ferrari or Jaguar, switching four lanes, it's the top down, screaming out money ain't a thing.
Bubble hard in the double law, flashing the rings with the window crack, holla back, money ain't a thing.
Jigga, I don't like it if it don't gleam, gleam in the hell with the price, but the money ain't a thing.
Put it down hard for my dogs that's locked in the bang. When you hit the bricks, new whips, money ain't a thing.
Come on. Yeah, I wanna floss with us.
Come on.
All across the board, we burn it up. Drop a little paper, baby.